I'm going to just expand a little bit on something that Bharat touched on, which is that really the spiritual path and the path of Kriya Yoga is all about completely giving ourselves to God, leaving nothing back, holding nothing back. There's a beautiful story that's told by Rabindranath Tagore, who was India's great poet. And the story is about a beggar who's standing by the side of the road. And one day the king and his whole retinue come by in their carriages. And the beggar, probably his eyes probably light up and thinks this could be my lucky day. And he even thinks that more when the king's carriage stops and the king comes out of his carriage and approaches the beggar. And as the beggar is starting to reach out his hand, the king reaches out his hand to the beggar. And as the beggar starts to talk and ask the king for something, the king speaks first. And the king says to the beggar, "What do you have to give to me?" And the beggar is quite taken aback by that. And he's surprised, and it's his king. So he starts to think, well, what can I give him? You know, the beggar has so very little of his own. And finally, he realizes he has a little bag of rice. That's his food. And he opens up the bag of rice, and he takes out one grain of rice and gives it to the king. And that's what he gave to the king of all his possessions and everything. And the beggar that night, he went back to where he spent the night, and he opened up his bag of rice to cook his rice. And when he looked inside, he found one grain of rice had turned to gold. And he was so crestfallen because he realized that if he had given all of the rice to the king, he would have had a whole bag of gold. The story we often tell, rightfully, about giving our resources to serve God and how when we give ourselves in that way, we're deeply blessed. But there's also a much broader and deeper context for this story, which is really the whole of the spiritual path. And it also applies to the path of Kriya Yoga, because the techniques of Kriya are really, as Bharat was talking, we can use them to be able to free ourselves, to be able to give ourselves completely freely to God. And so when we tie the techniques of Kriya with this understanding of what really the whole of the spiritual path is all about, then that is the art and science of Kriya Yoga when we practice it that way. And so when we practice the inner part of Kriya, and really Kriya, the path of Kriya is not just technique, it's a whole way of life. It's how we meditate, it's the techniques we practice, it's how we serve, it's how we live our lives. And so when we practice Kriya, how we apply this understanding in this story is that when we give completely of ourselves in devotion, in self-offering, when we hold nothing back and give it all to God, it's just like that beggar, that grain of rice that he gave was blessed and turned to gold. And it's the same thing for all of us. When we give our lives completely to God, the core of our being, who and what we are, holding nothing back, then we, our bodies, our minds, our souls. In a sense, it's almost like spiritual alchemy, which is turning lead to gold. We should probably have a sign in front of the front entrance at Ananda saying, "Alchemy practiced here. Watch lead turned into gold," with exclamation points. Because you see over the years that people who live this way of life, who practice Kriya Yoga, who offer themselves with service and devotion to God, their bodies, minds, and souls, what maybe started as lead and heaviness and dross, is just magically transmuted and turned into gold. And so this is a reason for holding nothing back when we practice meditation, which means giving everything. With Kriya Yoga, we work with the energy in our spines, but it's not just an impersonal energy. It really is our life force. It has our karma is contained in there. Who and what we are is in there. And so when we lift that energy up, rather than just seeing it as energy, lift up and offer up your entire being, all your aspirations, all your hopes, all your sorrows, everything within yourself, everything that you are, when you offer it to God in the actual technique of Kriya Yoga, not just as energy, but as your entire being, it becomes transmuted. Your entire being becomes transmuted. And this is how, over the years at Ananda, you see people turn from lead into gold. You see ordinary people arrive, and you see saints departing some many, many years later, because their lives and their beings have been turned and transmuted through this process of spiritual alchemy, which is offering ourselves into God's light. And in that process, we're completely changed and transmuted spiritually by God's grace and through our own efforts. It's a cooperative effort between us and God. Swami Kriyananda recently has been using an analogy, and he has said that when you lift up one hand to God, God lowers two hands down to lift you up. And I've been thinking about this because he's not telling the story just to brand new people who he's trying to convince to turn to God. He's telling it to people who have been practicing Kriya Yoga and loving and serving God for many years. And I thought, well, what does that mean to lift one hand up to God? And so obviously it's not literal, or you'd see people walking around Ananda kind of like this all the time with one hand up in the air. It also doesn't mean in a passive way. It doesn't mean we just kind of lay our hand out and say, Lord, I'm ready for your two hands. Lay it on me. It's not passive in that sense. So having an understanding of how to do that is how we draw those two hands of God to lift us up. And so how do we lift one hand up to God? We do it in an active way. We do it in a giving way. We do it, again, just like that beggar, offering with his hand one grain of rice. Well, if you lift your hand up to God and offer your entire being, all your life force, all your past karma, think about all this past karma that you have, kind of holding us down, and sometimes we feel the burden of it. Think of just taking it out of your pouch, out of your spine, offering it up to God, and looking in your pouch at the end of the day, and instead of seeing all this heavy karma and this past karma, you look inside there, and it's been turned to gold. It's been transmuted. And so the way that we live the spiritual life, the way that we practice Kriya Yoga, inwardly and outwardly, there's no difference in it. And so I've been talking about the inner part. And, you know, don't ever underestimate the power of divine grace to transmute and transform your karma and to completely change you. People sometimes come here to Ananda and they feel maybe a little unworthy to be doing Kriya Yoga, and they look at the saints and they meet a saint and they meet Swami Kriyananda, or they read the lives of the saints, and they think, boy, that's a long ways away. And, you know, they look at their own life, they look in the mirror at, you know, Swami has said, to thine own funky self be true. And I think a lot of us look in the mirror and see our funky selves, and we scratch our head and we read the lives of the saints and we look at ourselves. And a friend of mine once said something, and he used an analogy that's not perfect for yogis and vegetarians, but it's a good analogy for this. He said that when you look at a saint, you see freedom and bliss and just beauty and grace and perfection. But he said if you look at the process that that saint had to go through in their life to get to that point, the way he put it was that the process of becoming a saint is a little bit like making sausage, is the way he put it. And I'm speaking to a lot of vegetarians here, but it's an expression that's used to people who actually like sausage, which is that if they saw how sausage was made using intestines and all kinds of gross stuff, the process is kind of ugly and it's kind of gruesome, but the end product for someone who really loves sausage, and this is where the analogy is not very good, but we love saints, and we see the finished product, but we don't always see the process that it went through to become transmuted and transformed. And that process is not always pretty, and it can be brutal at times, and you read the lives of the saints, and you see actually that during their lives, they stumble, they fall flat on their face in the mud, they get up, and it's a fight, it's a battle. By the time they cross the finish line, you'd think sort of from watching the movie Chariots of Fire that when you cross the finish line, there's this music playing and your hair is streaming and you're just soaring across the finish line. And, you know, it's more like you're dragging yourself across. You probably don't have any hair left. You're missing a few body parts here and there. So the process is not as glorious and sort of romantic as we might think it is. And so when you look in the mirror and you see your own funky self, or you look at your daily struggles, realize that that's just the process that we have to go through. And our part is simply to reach one hand up continually and to offer everything in our life to God in whatever way that we can. And I've talked a little bit about how we do it in meditation, specifically in Kriya Yoga, and work with the techniques of Kriya with meditation more and more in that way over time. And Swami Kriyananda has talked about that when he gives Kriya initiations, talking about how it wants to be much, much more than a technique. He said, try to see that technique as the most sacred thing that you do. And an analogy that he used was the great Saint Padre Pio, who when he would do the communion at the Catholic Mass, many priests just do it sort of perfunctorily and offer up the communion wafer as the body of Christ and go through the motions and say the words and do the ritual. When Padre Pio did it, he would hold it up, the communion wafer to God, to Christ, and offer it, and he would go into ecstasy for about half an hour, and people would be standing there, some probably waiting, but some probably tuning in to what he was experiencing. And he said, try to practice Kriya as a technique in that very same way, with that complete sacred self-offering to God of just offering all your heart, all your devotion, all your karma, all your good qualities, your bad qualities, in complete freedom, self-offering, and devotion. That's how we should practice the techniques of yoga. Whether you're a Kriya yogi or not, all of the practices of yoga can be done that way, and you will get more out of it that way if you practice in that manner. But there's also an outer life that we all have. If this was the be-all and end-all, we would all spend 24 hours a day meditating and becoming free very quickly. But we have outer work to do. We're in this world. We have bodies, and we have karma to work out outwardly. But you can also apply this basic concept of the path of Kriya Yoga and the art of Kriya Yoga into our daily lives, even into the most mundane parts of your life. Jyotish, a couple of days ago, mentioned my wife Maria, who just passed away a couple of months ago. And we had a sort of a game that we would play, and it had to do with cleaning the house. And I have to confess that I have not always been up to speed with domestic chores and responsibilities. And so house cleaning, you know, no one really loves doing house cleaning. You know, you're cleaning the toilets and you're cleaning the kitchen and scrubbing, and it's your own mess that you're cleaning up. And somehow all that combines just to make it something that is not, you know, uplifting and inspiring and enlightening. And so she would have a game that we both would play over time. And when it came, we would have a one day a week where we would do the big house cleaning of our house and do all the chores and everything. And rather than reminding that tomorrow we have the house cleaning to do, don't forget, dear, rather than talking like that, she would pretend and feign just breathless excitement, just as if a little kid was about to go to the movies and have ice cream for the first time in the year or something like that. And she would say, tonight we get to clean the guru's ashram. And she would say it with such excitement and joy. And it really, it was a very a good lesson to actually to apply to every aspect of our life. Because this is the most mundane thing you can do, cleaning the toilets and all these things. And rather than seeing it as a chore, as work, as something that you have to do, you can offer that to God. And you can offer the most mundane things to God. And in fact, when you do it that way, you realize that your home, where you do your sadhana and where you think of the guru a lot and you read his teachings and live his and practice his teachings, it is the guru's ashram. And when you start thinking that way in your life, even though you look in the mirror sometimes and you see, again, your own funky self, but when you offer your funky self and the house cleaning and all of the just the really most mundane things that you do in your life, give it to the king, give it to God, give it to the Lord, then it becomes transmuted. And the most mundane parts of your lives become godlike. They become joyful. They become divine. And it's because we're not contracting and bringing it back to our little self. Jyotish or Devi was talking about the school children and the game they play, big self, little self. And that's really an interesting analogy because you can apply it almost every moment of your life. As we become, you know, for children, they can maybe relate more to little self because they're smaller. But as an adult, you know, there's a sense of self-importance, and I'm an adult now, and you know, your little self just becomes a little bit bigger. It's not like it's really changed all that much, and we have important jobs and important things to do, and really, that's just, we're just all children in that regard, and that's the little self. And by offering the little self into the light of God, every opportunity that we get, it becomes transmuted and transformed, and we, body, mind, and soul, we become divine over time through that process. And again, that's really how the whole path of Kriya Yoga is, this divine cooperation between us, our own funky selves, and doing the best that we can, struggling with karma and this and that, but most importantly, offering ourselves to God over and over and over again, every morning and evening in meditation, in service, and all the little acts that we do. And over time, that act done over and over and over again, repeatedly, completely changes us, because the power of God's grace, those two hands coming down, lifts us up and transmutes our karma, changes us, and frees us from delusion. And this is the lives of all the great saints have gone through this process. And it's not necessarily that they're greater than any of us. They started the same place that all of us did, with karma and limitations and just junk, you know, that we all have and that they had. But that process of offering yourself in service to God in meditation and outward activity completely changes us. There's one particular sort of delusion that I think is maybe more insidious than many others because it's so close to us. And that is just our personality and who and what we are. And we identify so closely with who and what we are, on just even on a personality level. And you just, it's so very, very limiting. You think, well, I'm this way, I'm that way. You look in the mirror and you think, well, you know, I have this fault or I have this strength. And I think people, you know, it's inevitable that you look at yourself at times and think, well, you know, I have those qualities and that quality. And you sort of look at your strengths and weaknesses and the way you express yourself, which is almost, you know, seems part and parcel of who you are, just the personality that you exhibit to others and the way that you are. And really, that also is a real limitation, and that's the little self. And meditation, one of the incredible things that it does is, when we offer ourselves up into the light of God repeatedly and over again, we don't just offer ourselves, it doesn't end there. We start to merge into God's infinite light, infinite grace, and our consciousness starts expanding, and we start to change our identification from this little self to our infinite self. And that really, in a way, is the whole of the spiritual path, in a nutshell, is just transferring your identification from the little self to the infinite self. It's really, really, really simple. And that's the story of big self, little self. And it's a story of meditation. It's a story of selfless service, because you get out of this little self and you start to recognize your oneness with all of humanity, with others. And all of a sudden, over time, this expansion ends, as Master said, someone asked him if spiritual growth ever ends, and I forget exactly how he put it, but it ends when you achieve endlessness, and you just keep growing and expanding. And so really, this is the whole of the spiritual path, is expanding out of this little self. And all the techniques of Kriya Yoga, all the practices that we do, all the right attitudes that we work on, all of them add together over time to enable us to be able to offer ourselves more and more freely to God. One of the aspects of Kriya Yoga is that it is a technique of pranayama, of controlling the life force. Master Yogananda said that pranayama is a condition. It's not just a technique. And it's the condition of having complete control of your life force. And practicing these techniques gives us that control, to the extent that in the end, we're able to let go and to give ourselves to God, because there's all these things holding us back and, you know, binding us, and we don't have control of our emotions and our restless thoughts. But a technique like Kriya gives us the power, as Master said, teach me to own again, own again, my matter-souled mind and brain, that I may give them to thee in prayer and ecstasy. And so techniques such as Kriya teach us to own again all those things that we lost control of, the life force, and enable us to be able to give completely every grain of rice, all of our karma, all of our emotions, all of our thoughts, all of our life force to God in meditation and ecstasy. If we could just sit down right now and just with complete self-offering give everything to God and holding nothing back, we would go into ecstasy and into samadhi and divine freedom. So think about it in that way, which is that the spiritual path is about learning how to have control, learning how to be free, learning how to offer ourselves so that in the end we expand and become one with the infinite. And that, in a nutshell, is the path and the art and science of Kriya Yoga. I want to touch on just one thing, which is that, you know, Jyotish mentioned Maria, and, you know, she, a couple months ago, you know, she found out that she had less than a month to live. And I think a lot of us think, well, gosh, how would I react in that situation? You know, because, you know, people are told, well, what would you do if you had a day to live or this or that? And so it was interesting to see how one person did it. We would all do it differently, and there's many appropriate ways to deal with that. How she dealt with it was very, very unusual, and it was unique, perhaps to her, but there was also a really universal lesson in it, which is that when she understood and, you know, realized what was happening, she completely let go of everything. Her job, her work, which she was just totally engrossed in for the last many years, you know, developing the Ananda website, she completely let go of it to the point that she just didn't have another thought about it. She had one message to give to Naba via an email, and that was it. It was just complete freedom. She let go of all any attachments to this world. There was no regret. There was no sorrow. There was never any sadness. And she did something that actually, I think, surprised people, and maybe some people misunderstood. She just wasn't interested in seeing people. And I think part of the reason was is that she also let go of this thing called the personality and this identification with a little self. She was no longer this person who had done all these things throughout this long life, completely free. She, you know, sometimes people think that at the end of a life like that, you might review your life and go over it and dwell on it and, you know, add things up, and none of that. No nostalgia, no sentiment, no attachment, to the point that she just wasn't interested in seeing people. And she didn't. She saw about 5 people during that last month. She just didn't want to get into all her little old stuff, because people would come and they might say, oh, remember we did this and you meant this to me. And she just was not interested in that little self anymore. She, in a sense, was looking ahead rather than looking behind. And she wasn't just looking ahead. She was sprinting ahead and running towards the light, running towards God. And there was just nothing holding her back. And she just wasn't interested. There was no negation or anything like that. It was just, that's not me anymore. I know that's not me. Time for me to go home. Let's get on with it. And, you know, she was actually maybe a little bit impatient to go into the light. And it was kind of, you know, I wouldn't say she was kind of tapping her foot waiting for it to happen, but there was a little bit of a sense of that, because she recognized that I'm not this person who lived this long, very often dramatic life with all these people who loved and had strong, deep personal attachments to. She realized that I'm this soul that's completely free in God, and I'm ready to go home to my beloved. And she was looking ahead with all of her life force, with all of her being, and just essentially completely offering herself, as I've been talking about, the way we should try to do in meditation every day, in complete freedom. When you're able to do that as a regular practice, when the time comes when God taps you on the shoulder and says, well, dear, you, time to come home, you have a minute, a second, a day, a few weeks to deal with everything and come home, we're all going to get that tap on the shoulder sometime. And if we're in the habit every day, as I've been talking about, of this path of Kriya Yoga, devotion, the spiritual life, of giving ourselves completely and freely to God. When that time comes, we'll go in complete freedom ourselves, running towards the light and saying, Lord, take me, I'm home, I'm all yours, and there will be nothing holding us back. I've often told the story of a cartoon that I saw. It was of Garfield the cat, and it showed him at the bottom of a couch, behind the couch, and the couch had was shredded with claw marks going down the entire back of the couch. And Garfield had this sort of a smirk on his face, and he said, everything I let go of has claw marks on it. And everything, in the end, everything, including our personality, our friends, who and what we are, everything is going to be taken from us because it's really not who and what we are. And are we going to leave claw marks on it? Or are we going to even not wait for it to be taken from us, but continually offer it to God? And if you offer it to God rather than holding on, you have divine freedom even now in this life. And you finish out this life serving in freedom, feeling divine bliss, which is our true nature when you meditate. And more, again, this is what you see with people at Ananda who have lived the spiritual life for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You see ever growing freedom from the little self, ever greater identification with the divine self. And when we live the life entirely in that way, those two hands come, pick us up, and in spite of our meager, sometimes, efforts and our funky karma and our junk, we become transmuted, and the spiritual alchemy happens, which really is the power of the path of Kriya Yoga, which is turning our funky selves into saintliness, into divine selves, turning lead into gold. And remember just the power of this path to do that for you. And don't take it for granted. Give it your all, and you will really get extraordinary results from these very, very sacred teachings.